What do we learn from Job? What does the grace of God teach us concerning this man? We'll read the first three verses, and then we'll deal with them shortly. Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Now, most of you know the story of Job. If not, we'll touch on a few things that came his way. But what do we learn here? The scriptures tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for edification, and for teaching. All the scriptures, wherever it's at, New Testament, Old Testament, makes no difference. These scriptures was given by the inspiration of God. God moved upon men, and he caused them to write these things down, and he caused them to put them in a book. And now we have it right here, the written word of God. So what are we to learn? Teach me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me what you taught Job. Oh, that I may learn some things from what Job went through. We learn that this was a great man of wealth. He was a man with a large family. He had 10 children. They don't say how many grandchildren he had, but I'm sure he probably had grandchildren. He was a man of influence with his servants and with his friends throughout the country of the East there. He was a man of good health. But we also learned that in one day, everything that he had was suddenly taken away. You imagine. Everything you had in one day is wiped clean. This man of great wealth suddenly became a man of great poverty. Everything he had was gone. This man that had these 10 children, a great family, and the scripture says a great household, many servants, a great, great household. Suddenly, his 10 children was gone in an instant, in a heartbeat. And we read farther down in the book of Job, in Job chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10, that even his wife, after these things come upon Job, the scripture says he shaved his head and he fell down and worshiped God. And his wife came to him and said, Job, you've lost everything. Everything you've had is gone. Why don't you just curse God and die? But what did Job do? This man of great influence was suddenly looked down upon. His friend looked down upon him and said, Job, what have you done? What did you do that would cause God to afflict you this way? This man of great health was suddenly stricken from head to toe with boils and sores. And he, to the point that even his friends didn't recognize him. Who is this man? Look at him. Oh, look at him. What a pitiful mess he's in. But what are we to learn from Job? If these things come our way, how are we going to deal with them? How will we deal with them? We see Job, that he's a man not trying to hide his sorrow. He fell down and shaved his head and worshiped God in sackcloth and ashes. poured ashes upon his head to show his submission and his willingness to worship God. He wept before God. He wept before God. And he wept before his friend to the point that they come and circled around him. And Job, what are you doing? Have you lost your mind? Have you lost your intelligence? What are you doing, Job? God's people are a people with a tender heart. He wept before God. When we're called upon to bear this rod, how will we deal with it? When suffering and trials and tribulations come our way. Now, I doubt very seriously that if any of us will ever suffer as Job did. I doubt very seriously that our children are going to be taken in one day. It could be. But we pray not. When troubles and trials come our way, what are they for? Every one of us here today deals with troubles and trials, heartaches and sicknesses, pain, whether it be family problems or whether it be health problems or whatever it is. But why do we suffer? Why do we suffer? One reason, well, why we suffer, and I believe this is what happens most of the time, God sends his troubles and his trials and his tribulations upon his people to wean them from this world and to cause them to depend more upon Christ. You and I are here just for a few days. And the scripture says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Full of trouble. And we experience that. Whether it be trouble in the mind or in the flesh, we experience this. But how do we deal under these trials? How do we face these things up? What happens to us when troubles and trials come our way? I'm thankful that I've never been put in that situation to where I'd have to suffer much, especially for the preaching of the gospel. I'm thankful that God has seen fit not to put these heavy burdens upon me at this time. They're coming, I'm sure, as of all men will. But I hope that when and if I am called upon these things to suffer persecutions and trials and tribulation, I want to be something like Job was. I want to be something like Job was. I want to worship God. Even in the troubles and trials and the afflictions that come our way. Job, here in the midst of all these troubles, all these trials, and all these tribulations, he made this statement: the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you and I say that? Can I say that? If we do, it's only by the grace of God that deals with us and deals in us. We learn from Job that in his troubles and sorrows, he did not speak in an unworthy manner against God. He did not dishonor the name of God. Praise him for all the great things that he has done. But we are also to praise him when he taketh away. When he taketh away our health. When he taketh away our wealth. When he takes away our ability, our strength, or whatever we have. Not only are we to praise him in good times, but we are to praise him in what men call bad times. Job fell upon his face and worshiped God. We read in Job chapter 13 and verse 15, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Yet will I trust him. Is this our attitude? Can it be our attitude? It can be if we look to Christ by faith. We know that in everything that happens, The scripture says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Nothing comes our way by mistake. Nothing, these winds that came through and blew the house down upon Job's 10 children, that wasn't a mistake. That wasn't just a bad accident. These Chaldeans that came through and herded up all of his livestock and drove them away, they stole them. They just didn't happen to be there. These things were brought about by the hand of God. Men don't see that. You say, well, God gives us good things. Satan takes things away. Oh, no. No. If you read through this book of Job, the Lord gave Satan permission. He gave Satan permission to take these things from Job. He gave Satan permission to touch Job's body. He gave Satan permission that he may afflict Job from head to toe. Why do these things happen? If greed presses you to the ground, worship there. That's what we learn. Whatever state Job was in, we found him worshiping God. We found him bowing to the providence and the power of God. If trials lay you low, worship there. If the blessings of God lift you on high, worship there. But whatever state we're in, let us be found worshiping our God. We read in Psalm chapter 62 and verse 8, David said, trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is our refuge. He is the only strength that we have. He is the only help that we have. He is the only sufficient one that we can lean upon and depend upon. What's the old song say? Family and friends may fade and flee, but oh no, Christ will never leave us. He will never forsake us. The scriptures tells us, I will be with you, and I will go with you even unto the ends of the world. The time of troubles and trials should not only be a time of worship, but also a time of teaching and consideration. When you and I go through this thing of sicknesses, and we will, it should be teaching us, look not to the flesh, but look to Christ. Depend not upon the flesh, depend upon Christ. Consider not the weakness of the flesh, consider the strength of our Savior. He's able to save us. If his old body got returned to the dust of the earth, that's just where it's meant to be. But oh, what happens to the spirit? It ascends unto the mercy seat of God, and there it abides with our Lord and Savior forever and ever. We read in Psalms chapter 42, David, under a trial and tribulation, he wrote these words. Why art thou cast down? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are thou disquieted within me? Why do we have these things of depression? We have these things of self-pity and sorrow. Why? We are the children of God. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are precious in his sight. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him from the help of my countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hermonians and from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth upon deep as the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Oh, I'm under deep troubles and trials and tribulation, David said. But yet, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God for my life. I will say unto God, my rock, the God of my life, why hast thou forgotten me? Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is your God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. I shall yet see him, who is the health of my strength and the health of my countenance. And he's my God. He's my God. He will perfect that which concerneth me. He will always be with me to hold me up. He will always be with me to raise me unto the heights of glory. And he will always be with me to push aside this thing of sin and troubles and trials and tribulations. Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. When I'm weak in this flesh, I can't look to the flesh. I can't depend upon the flesh. I must look somewhere else. And when I look outside of myself, I see my Redeemer, who has taken away all the things that does so easily beset me. All the sin and the reproach and the misery that comes in this flesh. He's taken these things away. And he has caused me in Christ Jesus to be an heir of God and a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Job is a man of God, a man of faith, a man of well learned in the scriptures. But this book is here to teach us something. It's written here. This is not just a story to fill these pages. It's a story to tell us and to teach us something about the goodness of our God. So let us learn these things. Let us learn at least these four things as we study what Job went through. Let us learn, first of all, life is brief. Life is brief. Most of us are getting older. Well, all of us are getting older. All of us have no promise of tomorrow. All of us have no surety that we will wake in the morning. Life is but a vapor, brief. Job's family was a family of their eating and drinking, the scripture says down in the latter part of this chapter. Eating and drinking in their eldest son's house. And bang, that was gone. Within an instant. Life is brief. Life is brief. Our life here on this earth is just for a moment. It's just for a moment. We read in Scripture in Job chapter 14 and verse 1 and 2, it tells us, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of troubles. He came forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Life is brief. James said in the book of James, in James chapter 4 and verse 14, he says, whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is life? What is our life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanishes away. It's like the fog of the morning. You get up on a clear, crisp morning, you see the fog. And as soon as the sunshine rises, the fog is gone. That's our life. That's who we are. But oh, for the child of God, we are to consider our life here on this earth. We are to consider our walk. We are to consider it but as a journey, as a journey. And at the best state, we won't be here long. Who was it wrote the old song? We sung it in religion. We don't sing it much anymore, but the scripture or the song says, "This world is not my home, I'm only passing through." Well, that's what it is with this life. It's just a journey. We're here today and gone tomorrow. We have no hope of tomorrow. But oh, to those who are in Christ, those who look to Christ by faith, we have a promise. We have a promise from God, our Heavenly Father, that we shall live forever in the very presence of God. We shall live throughout eternity. The Scripture calls it everlasting life. We shall live forever in the presence of our God, worshiping and honoring and giving glory unto Him. For the child of God, this world is but here for a moment, and then we're gone. We read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, Paul said, I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the joy that shall be revealed in us. We may suffer here for many years in the flesh. We may not have much in the flesh, but all this suffering cannot be compared. It cannot be compared with the joy which shall be revealed in us when we look upon Him face to face, when we see Him as He is and we're made just like Him. Then these old troubles and cares and trials that we bear in this flesh shall never be remembered. There's no tear, there's no crying, there's no sorrow, nothing but joy. But while we're here, this life is brief. Our hope is in Him who has redeemed us, and that joy awaits us. It awaits us. The Scriptures tells us that joy awaits us, and we shall have it. We shall have it. The next thing that Job learned was earthly possessions are frail. Now this is a hard thing to get here. A hard thing to get through our minds. Earthly possessions are frail. When a child is born into this world, what do they possess? Nothing. Nothing. Who was it? Was it David said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return." A child comes into this world with nothing, naked. And when they live their life, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 100 years, what do they leave this world with? Nothing. Nothing. What do we take out of this world? Nothing. We leave this world the same way we came, with nothing, nothing. That's the natural man. That's what they have, and that's what they possess. Well, and this is what the Lord's teaching Job. Earthly possessions are frail and fleeting. They cannot be depended upon. They cannot be possessed, possessions cannot be taken any farther than this world allows us to take them. But oh, once again to the child of God, to those who are in Christ, to those who have been redeemed by His blood, we have an inheritance. We have an inheritance that we shall inherit the kingdom of God. We shall be with Him and like Him. And everything that God has is mine because of my relationship with Christ. Because I am His and He is mine. The true fact of the matter is that we cannot take anything out of this world, naturally speaking. But spiritually speaking, we have everything that heaven has to offer awaiting us when we come into the presence of our God. We shall inherit inherit the kingdom of God. David said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and sin, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Oh, but by the grace and the mercy of God, through the faith that we have in Christ, we can leave this world justified. Justified, redeemed, and free from sin, because we look to Christ by faith." Paul said in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 13 and verse 38, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin, and by him all that believe are justified. All that looks to Christ by faith, the Scripture declares us to be justified, holy, without blame, and unreprovable in the very sight of God. And by him all that believe are justified from the thing from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." This man was Job's hope. He said he was a man that feared God and eschewed evil. This man looked to Christ by faith. He looked and said, "There he is, my Redeemer and my Lord. There he is, my God and my salvation." Job looked to Christ before Christ ever came into the world. Hundreds of years before Christ ever came, God worked this thing of faith in Job and caused Job to look to Christ. And now, hundreds of years after he has departed, came in this world, lived and died, he has worked within us faith to look to him also. The same faith that Job have, we have, if we look to Christ by faith. We learn these things that God is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will go with us always, even unto the end. And he does these things, and he shows us these things by the grace that he has given unto us. What's the old song say? "Free from the law, O happy condition, Jesus has bled and there is remission." We have this thing of forgiveness of sin in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come, he has lived, and he has died on my behalf, in my room, and in my stead, that I may be a child of God, that I may receive the inheritance of my Heavenly Father. And everything that God has, I have in Christ. But these earthly possessions, they're feeble and frail. Job saw the next thing that Job learned. He saw the hand of God in all things. All things. Many people read this portion of Scripture would say Satan afflicted Job, and such Satan took away all that he possessed. But Job, like every true believer, knew that the Lord, that God is the first cause of all things. Let me find it here. Verse 6. Job chapter 1 verse 6. He says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came unto present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also." Now I don't understand that. I don't know exactly. I don't see this thing clearly, but this is the way it reads. "And Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hence comest thou, or where'd you come from, or why are you here? Then Satan answered and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto him, Has thou considered my servant Job?" Have you looked upon Job? "That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And Satan answered and said unto the Lord, Does Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side, and has blessed the work of his hand and his substance increase in the land? Satan said, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power. Remember, God's in control. Our God's in control. But he allows, he permits, and I don't know what other words to use, to say that he allows Satan to touch Job. He allowed Satan to take everything that Job had. Now remember, Satan has no power except that which God gives him. I believe it was Brother Donnie Bell said, Satan is God's puppet on a chain. He can do nothing except what God allows him to do. And here, he allowed Satan to take everything that Job had. Well, why would that happen? To teach Satan, or to teach Job, and to teach you and I. God's in control. God's in control. So when sicknesses and trials and tribulations come our way, let us remember, God's in control. Whatever it is, this is my state before God for right now. This is what God is pleased to bring my way right now. This is what God has seen fit in time fast, in the providence of God, at this time for me to go through. Our pastor's wife and also our pastor is going through some difficult times. Alberta just went last week to have her third or fourth treatment, and it's devastating. I mean, it's devastating to watch. And our pastor, he's got problems, he's got heart problems. They found a place on his brain, and so I don't know what's going to happen, but God does. God does. God knows exactly what tomorrow holds before tomorrow ever comes, because he holds tomorrow. And this is our hope. This is our hope that our God's in control and he will do what's right. You say, well, why does God's people suffer? They suffer that they may be weaned from this world and took out of this world and presented unto Christ holy and blameable in the sight of God. This is the only reason that we suffer, is because it pleased God to cause us to come through these things. He said, well, that's blasphemy. God don't cause anything bad to happen. Let me read you something here. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 6. This is God's word. The Lord killeth. Oh no, no. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor. Well, now that's not right. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. Our God's in control. And he will do all things as it pleases him. And he gives us the grace. He gives us the mercy. He gives us the understanding to say, even so, Lord, for it seemeth good in thy sight. We read in Acts chapter 4 and verse 27. This is concerning what they did to our Lord. This is concerning the beatings and the sufferings and the trials and the afflictions that our Lord went through. Paul said it this way, "For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together." They all came together for one purpose. For one purpose. "For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before it to be done. God crucified and slain his own son for the purpose of redeeming his people from their sin." You were saying, now, evil men done this. Evil men, oh, yes, they were. They were evil. And they done these things, but God appointed it to happen. God ordained it to happen. Exactly the way that it came about. Showing that I'm in control. I am God. And besides me, there is none else. I'm God, and there's none likened unto me. This is what he teaches his people. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Oh no, that's not right. That's what God said about himself. But Job said, "Everything that I have," and this is what you and I say by faith, "everything that I have, the breath that I breathe is a gift of God. The life that I live is a gift of God. The possession that he gives me is a gift of God. It's up to him whether I have them or not. He sustains me. He awakes me each morning. He gives me strength to get out of bed." Some of my neighbors may not have strength to get out of the bed tomorrow. They may die in their bed tonight. But God, by his grace, if he sees fit to, he will raise me in the morning to whatever I'm about to do. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what as thou hast that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou didst not receive it?" Our God's in control. All that I have physically, mentally, materially, and spiritually is a gift from my God. And he gives it to us, to his people, out of the free grace and mercy of his abundant love and grace to us. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that God had before ordained that we should walk in them. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Oh, that we may see the hand of God in all things as Job did." That we may see it. That we may learn that God is in control. Job did not curse the Sabaeans for driving off his cattle. He did not curse the Chaldeans for the evil things that they did. He did not curse the wind for blowing down the house and killing his children. He knew by the grace of God that God controlled all these things. And God brought these things about by his own purpose and providence. And they came at the very instant that God had before ordained that they should come. Well, that was bad luck. All of them gathered in one house and the wind blowed. Oh, no. These things are of God. Job learned. Let me close. Life is brief. Job learned earthly possessions are frail. And Job saw the hand of God in all things. And Job declared. Job learned and Job declared that in all things, at all times, God is to be praised. God is to be worshipped. God is to be honored at all times and in all situations and in all things. God is to be worshipped. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, that we may be able to praise Him in the valleys of troubles and trials as we do on the mountains of joy. Let this be my desire in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Therefore, give thanks. Thank you.